The reading is taken from Paul's second letter to Corinthians, chapter 5, starting at verse 6, and it's on page 1160 if you wish to follow it in your pew Bibles. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, rather than in what's in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Do you feel like that when you get up in the morning and you walk into the bathroom and you look in the mirror? Am I really a new creation, Lord? And then suddenly the light dawns that actually, yes, I am a new creation because I follow you, and what you've done, you've given me this body, but you've transformed my thoughts and my heart and my mind, and that's the new bit. God wishes to use what he's given us. As Nicky Gumbel recently said, your life has a purpose. Your story is important. Your dreams count. Your voice matters. You were born to make an impact. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we explore the full meaning of this morning, that you will help us to understand it afresh. Come and empower us in a fresh way, we pray. Amen. So what does this new creation really mean for each one of us? We're taught that Christians experience a radical change in their way of thinking, tantamount and indistinguishable from a new creation. Literally, we are different people. In our recent cell groups and watching those DVDs and discussion, we've been encouraged to share stories about our experiences. And I'm sure you've shared your personal stories, you've heard personal stories, you know of personal stories where God has touched people's lives and you've seen them changed. And you know that could not have happened unless God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, had touched that person's life. I hope you can all say it about your own life. I hope you can say, yes, or I know from that certain point in time, I turned to follow you. I said no to the old life and yes to the new life. It's particularly encouraging when other people notice it in you personally. I grew up in a Methodist church in South Wales. Went away to college. And at that time, Billy Graham was in this country. And our family have always had the tradition of keeping a record of our lives. So my parents kept a record of my life and my brother's life. We'd call it a blog these days. They used to call it logs. And I've got them at home. I had to build special shelves to contain all these logs. And there's one from each year from 1945 going right up to the present day. And if I look at the one for 1967, my dear mother wrote in there in June 1967, referring to a Billy Graham event, "This event has had a huge effect, a profound effect upon Dennis's life." She saw something changed in my life when I was that 21 years of age, whatever it was. And I often look back at that writing, because it's written in her own handwriting. I thought, yes, Mum, thank you. You recognize what God had done in my life. Think of your own lives. Think of your own children. Think of your grandchildren. And if there's a special moment like that, write it down, because they will treasure that in years to come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And twice in that reading, Paul uses the words "no longer." There's been a change. He's saying no to the past. Something's going to be different in the future. Let me read a couple of verses from the Message version of this reading from 2 Corinthians. "Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life has gone." What we see, there's a fresh start. Things have been created new. A radical reorientation has taken place in a person's life who comes to Christ. And I suppose the most well-known example in the Bible is that of Paul himself, where on that Damascus road he had that dramatic change from being a person who one day was anti-God, anti-Christ, to suddenly having that dramatic experience, and it changed his life completely. Paul was outwardly a religious person, but everything revolved around him. He lived what we could call an egocentric life, a selfish life. But from now on, this was no longer true for Paul. He no longer lives for himself, but he lives to please his new Lord, Jesus Christ. The one who he realized died for him on that cross at Calvary. The one who rose again on that first Easter morning. It's Jesus, not Paul, is now the center of Paul's life. That egocentricity, that self-centered attitude has been replaced by something called Christocentricity. That's what some theologians like to call it. Christ-centeredness. That's how I have a good laugh about it. You do. You know, when you walk into the Man in Space on Monday to have your breakfast, as you do regularly, I know, and other people go to the Man in Space, just call out, "I've got a Christocentric life." That's the quickest way to get thrown out of the Man in Space, I should think, isn't it? But go in and tell them about the love of Jesus. Yeah? It's good to have the theology. It's good to know that we have got Christ as the center of our life. But we need to put that in everyday language so that people understand it and see the difference in our own lives. we have new eyes, fresh understanding, because and only because of the death of Christ himself. He is the agent of reconciliation and relationships. Writing in the book of Romans, Paul says, again, this is the Message translation, "It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, as he does, as he surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ." Your body will be as alive as Christ. Again, going back to our cell groups, it's all about the resurrection and believing the resurrection and the effect the resurrection has on our lives. Do we really believe that we've been delivered from the dead life? Because the Spirit is in us, our body will be as alive as Christ. We'll be a transformed people. Do we believe that? You know, that's what the message is all about, isn't it? That means that we have a job to do. Because if we have discovered this new life, if we have experienced this new life, what God is calling us to do, yes, to be here on a Sunday, but to go out into the world and to share that love with others who as yet do not know it. I want to ask you a question. I asked this one at 9 o'clock, at 9:30. I'm going to ask it again. I think you might get a slightly different answer this time. Just raise your hand if you were born after 1980. If you were born after 1980. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Hang on a moment. Marcel, can you pray for that? Right, there are a few more here than there were at 9:30. The reason I picked out the last 35 years, it's as simple as this. People who've done research into religious activity in Europe and in the UK, people born after 1980 are known as Generation Y. Okay? That's what you are. All right, at the back there, you're Generation Y. And basically, Generation Y see Christianity as irrelevant. So those of you who are here this morning, great to see you. You've obviously crossed the bridge. You've realized that it's not irrelevant. It's something important. That's why you're in church. But the vast majority of people 35 years of age or younger do not see the relevance of Christianity. And that's why they don't come to church. It's what somebody calls believing without belonging. Because again, if you talk to this group of people born after 1980, many of them do believe in the supernatural. They will not use the same language as we use, and perhaps the same words, but they will believe in maybe an everlasting. They will believe, well, when I die, I'm sure there's a heaven. Oh, I'll be all right. I was baptized as a baby. We're getting our children baptized. You know, there is something there going on, but they don't understand really what it's all about. Our challenge is to go out and to share the understanding that we've received from God with these people, to help them, to encourage them, to draw them into this place. And it is going on in this place. It is going on. Andy quoted earlier, the number of young people have gone out this morning across there to learn about Jesus. They've all got families. How many of those parents come to church each week? I don't know the answer. How many of their friends could they attract to come each week? Some of you know what goes on in here on a Tuesday morning. We get up to 30 families coming with something like 35 children every week. And quite a few of those young mums and dads and grandparents, when they walk in that door, they make comments like, There's something going on here. It's different. They are beginning to experience something of the power of God upon their lives. Why is it that one of the fathers of the little stars rang me up some time ago and said, "My wife and son have a great time on a Tuesday morning. I'd like to help. Can I join the setup team on a Monday night?" Actually, you often see that person in church now as well. God is working. We've got to think of new ways to do it. We've got to go out and talk to these people or meet these people, share their stories, see where they are, meet them where they are. To quote Nicky Gumbel again, he said, "Each day, ask yourself, what can I learn today? Who can I help? And where can I do most good?" And remember that earlier quote I made. Our lives have a purpose. Our story is important. Our dreams count. Our voice matters. And we were born to make an impact. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Praise God for what he's done in our lives. But empower us to go out to share that with those outside as well. Amen.